all for coming, and it's just a blessing to be able to worship in God's house.
Amen.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just close to walk with thee. And if Jesus is my plea, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
That's right.
When my sun sets in the west, Lord, may have I done my best. I said, let peace and rest in that home, the happy home,
amen,
of the blessed. Just close to walk with thee, and it's Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Amen. 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 That's an old song, just a closer walk with thee. And that's what we all ought to deserve, or we don't deserve, but that's what we all ought to desire this morning. Praise God. All right, let's open our Bibles now to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. I'm going to ask you to pray for us this morning. I'm going to preach one of those messages this morning that's controversial, say the least. And so, but I need your help this morning, if you'll listen to me, to try to keep us where we need to be. We're living in a very, very strange time in history. Things are changing so fast now you can't keep up with them. And what I'm going to say this morning would not sit too well with a lot of the church world. And I understand that there'll be a lot of disagreement about it. But I think if you'll listen to me, you'll get the point of the message. I want to preach this morning on dangerous trends of the modern church. Dangerous trends of the modern church. In 1 Timothy 4, the Bible warned us of these things and said, now the Spirit, that's a capital S, so that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There must have been people that knew what it was or had some of it or been around it or something. Depart from it. Giving heed to seducing spirits, little s, that's demonic spirits, and doctrines of devils. I want to preach this morning on the subject dangerous trends of the modern church. I want you to hear me out this morning and listen to what I'm going to say. And then tonight, we're even going a little bit further, if the Lord don't change my mind, on some things related to this. Let me say, by way of introduction, I am not a person or a preacher who disagrees with everything I don't do. I'm not saying that anybody who don't dot their I's like we do or cross their T's like we do or is wrong or not saved or not sincere. I don't say that at all. At all. A lot of people that are caught up in some of these things I'm going to talk about this morning are just as sincere as you and I have just been led or seduced, as the Bible said, by some kind of spirit or some preacher led by the wrong spirit. I'm not one of these people who thinks, well, I'm right and anybody that disagrees with me on anything's wrong. The Pharisees were that way. Nobody's got it all figured out. Nobody's right on every single thing. We get to heaven, we'll find out we're off on quite a few things, I imagine. But now there's some things we nail down with the Word of God, and I'd like to do that. I'm not against the church progressing. I remember when I first started preaching, there's a few churches around here even had air conditioning. A little country church didn't have air conditioning. I'm okay with air conditioning. I don't think you're compromising or getting worldly if you have air conditioning. Thank God for whoever invented air conditioning. I believe whoever invented air conditioning will go to heaven, even if they're not even saved. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding on that. But I appreciate any good progress. I like lights and electricity. I like cars. I don't want to trade my car off and go back to horse and buggy days. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against progress. I'm not against good. I'm not against even using social media in churches and putting screens on. I'm not against putting screens up with the words on them. That's really probably a good idea. I'm not saying that you're compromising if you're doing anything, just as long as you don't compromise the Word of God and the worship of God and the witness of God. There's where we get into problems. Nothing wrong with a TV preacher. Nothing wrong with preaching on TV, as long as you don't have to compromise the message. If a man gets an offer to preach on TV to millions of people every week, great, go for it, buddy. He ought to. But if they say, you can't preach this and you can't say that, and you can't say, see you later, God called me to preach, not you, and we don't do that. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I'm not against any kind of method or means or progress at all, as long as you don't have to compromise the message in order to do it. So, we all straight right now. We got our bearings right. When you compromise with the world to try to reach them and just give in the world to have crowd or money, then you're wrong. And so I see some dangerous trends in churches today, and I keep up with it. I turn the radio on, I listen to all the preachers I can, and we have all those Christian channels on our TV, and I try to keep up with what's going on in the church world. I don't always, but I just a little bit. And so this morning, I'd like to give you some warnings about some dangerous trends. Number one, it's a dangerous trend when we begin to think God's blessings, listen to me, are a sign of His approval. Don't ever confuse God's blessings with God's approval. And our modern day churches, we have this idea of, have you seen so-and-so's new building? And have you seen, boy, the Lord is really blessing them. Well, now, maybe He is, maybe He's not. Now, I know when we get something, it is a blessing of the Lord. And I praise God for that. But God's blessings don't always mean God's approval. Are you listening? So you say, well, boy, they got a big church and a big crowd and a big ministry, so the Lord must be pleased with them. No, not at all. Somebody said, well, this church went down here and they built a building in 6 months. Hey, God must have really blessed them. Not necessarily. The Jehovah's Witnesses can build one in 3 weeks or less. Does that mean God's blessing them? Absolutely not. Don't ever confuse God's blessings with God's approval. In other words, if we are not going by God's book, it doesn't matter what kind of material things we accumulate or how big our ministry is, then it's not God's blessings upon us. You don't confuse God's blessings with God's approval. I'm telling you, Noah preached 120 years. He had no church building and 8 converts, including himself. Don't ever confuse God's blessings with God's approval. God did approve of Noah's ministry. There's been missionaries who went to the foreign field and preached for years and never had one convert and lived and died on the mission field. According to that philosophy, the Lord didn't bless them. They didn't have a building. They didn't have a bunch of people. They didn't have a... Don't confuse God's blessings with God's approval. It's a mistake. Are you listening to me? You go and say, well, wow, they got this and they got that and they got this. Now, there's nothing wrong with having it. If God blesses you with a big bunch of buildings and stuff, great, that's wonderful. But don't confuse that with His approval. You say, well, Brother Danny, how do you know when a church is real? I tell you what a sign of the last days is. You know what the Bible said the last church, the church of the Laodicea, would say? It said in Revelation 3, they said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said that would describe the last church. And you know what God said to them? And knows not that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So this church looked around and they said, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. We built this, we built that. We've got money coming out of our ears. It's everywhere. Don't confuse that with God's approval. God might look down and say, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know why He said that to that church? Because the Lord was standing on the outside knocking, saying, let me in. Revelation 3:20. I'm saying, don't they, our church today, some of them confuse God. Let me just say this, and I'm going to move on, because I got a lot to say. I hope you got a lot of listening on your ears this morning. I'm going to say it to you this morning, and I'll move on. Are you listening? Being poor is not a sign you're wrong, and being rich is not a sign you're right. Being healthy is not a sign you're right, and being sick ain't a sign you're poor or you're wrong. Just somebody said, well, they're sick. They must have done something wrong. Not necessarily. Some of the greatest saints of God in history have been sick. To listen to some preachers on TV, you get the impression that if you're right with God, you'll never be sick and always have plenty of money. That's the impression you get. That's what's coming through as they're up there talking. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. They build a mosque right in the middle of New York City. Is that God's blessings? Absolutely not. No way. The Jehovah's Witnesses blessed? No way. I'm telling you, some of God's greatest people have been poor, have been sick. Now you listen. If God blesses you with a lot and you accumulate a lot, praise God, hallelujah. Thank Him for His blessings. Pay your tithes and honor Him. But don't confuse that with His approval. There's plenty of people in this world got stuff that don't have approval. My daughter's, Corey, sent me a text the other day. She called me. She said, I'm so confused, Daddy. I'm just so confused. She said, this is driving me crazy. The female in her was kicking in. She said, Daddy, it just kills me the way they're doing. I can't stand that somebody getting away with something, you know. And she said, how come that the world out there is celebrating Bruce / Caitlin, him, shim, it, whatever, and they make a celebrity and say, how wonderful, oh, just how wonderful the celebrities got on, and they said, oh, I just praise him, her, shim, for being who she, it really is, and I just think it's wonderful of what they, she's, him, it, standing up for what they've always been, and I just think it's great, and the same crowd turn around and cuss them Duggars and say, what a bunch of hypocrites. Caitlin is walking around in high heels, and the Duggars had a problem in their life years ago, and they're nailing them to a cross. Let me help you with that just a little bit this morning. John chapter 15. Jesus said, the world loves its own. That's easy to understand. If you are of the world loves its own. But because you are not of the world, I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. The world loves its own kinfolk, people. And they hate us. I ain't got time to preach on this, but we better get it through our head, and the mega churches better listen. You'd be surprised people listen to our on TV or on the internet or whatever the thing is back there. Listen, you know what? You'd be surprised people listen. If any of them hears this, I'm warning you right now. The world ain't your friend. You better be careful hobnobbing with the world. You better not be careful yoking up with the world. They'll cut your throat. Listen, they'll buddy up to you on one side, stab you in the back on the other side. Amen? I ain't got time to get into this, but if I had a word, somebody asked me, they said, what would you tell the Duggars to do right now? First of all, I'd say, thank God for your family. You got a wonderful family. You ought to shout and praise God for it every day. Amen? I'm not justifying any wrong. I'm just saying, thank God for they did the right thing and honored God. The next thing I'd say is this, Jim Bob, you've learned a hard lesson. And the lesson you've learned is you cannot partner up with the world. I told y'all and told y'all and told y'all, you can't, no, don't mess with the news media. They couldn't put it right for life depended on it. It's not right to be unequally yoked. So you know what he ought to do? I'll tell you what that man ought to do. And if he ever gets into this message, you never know. I tell you what that man ought to do. He ought to have a big press conference and say the Duggars are going to speak out and get all the cameras there and everybody in the whole world watching and stand up there and say, listen, people, we've never claimed to be perfect. We've all sinned. We're all sinners. Jesus Christ died for sinners. He rose again. He'll save you from hell if you want to get saved. That's all I got to say. Bye-bye. And never go mess with them people again and take them 19 kids and go find a Bible-believing independent church and get a join in it and get in the bus ministry. That's what he ought to do. He had all them kids in there. See, if you can't say you're going to hell on your TV show, cancel your TV show. They're getting $40,000 an episode, I understand. But if you can't say Jesus died for your sin and you're going to hell if you don't get saved, yeah, just forget it, brother. Getting a soul-winning church, can you imagine what a bus ministry they could have? How many did you have this morning? 21? Nobody showed up. Lord have mercy. I'd put Joe and Johnny and Josie and Jimmy and Johnny and Jag and Jig and all of them out there and say, get you a bus route. Fill it up for God. Let's go to the house of God. Forget the world. Forget Hollywood. Let's get some people saved. That's good sound advice I just gave you, Jim Bob, and I love you. And I hope everything works out great for you. Get people saved. Get people saved. God's blessings don't always mean God's approval. Number two, the next big mistake the modern day churches are making is they think we are special and God somehow or another owes us something. This is a very, very dangerous way to feel. I keep hearing it on little Christian TV shows and through their songs and stuff saying, I'm wonderful. I'm just great. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that God made you special and wonderful and we are all created in His image? That ain't right. That ain't right. You wasn't created. You was born. Only two people have been created, Adam and Eve. And they was in the image of God and they fell and lost it. Do you honestly think we are in the image? Lord, that's funny. There ain't never been but two people created. The rest of us is born. You see how you reject that? You're brainwashed by this world. Something in your mind says, well, that ain't right. It is right. You want me to tell you what you are? People say, well, we should tell our children how wonderful they are. No, you shouldn't. No, you shouldn't. You say, but I believe we build positive attitudes, gentlemen. Just tell them positive. Wrong again. It is wrong for us to get this attitude that we are special and great and wonderful and God owes us a happy home and a great living and plenty of money and help. Listen, people, let me quote you some scripture. Maybe it's been a long time since you've read it. Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, the Lord looked at them people and He said, if ye then, being evil, know how to good give tips to your children. You know what He was saying there? You are naturally evil. You say, ain't we naturally good? No, you're naturally evil. You say, well, I know a sweet old lady that sets up at her house, she don't do nothing but knit. She's evil. You hang around there long enough, you'll hear it or see it somehow. She may have it hid pretty good. Jesus said, we're evil. Come on now, people. You know what I'm talking about. You know what the Bible says about you? You know what that King James Bible said? It said, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible said in verse 11, there is none that understandeth. The Bible said there is none that seeketh after God. The Bible said in verse 12, all have gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 13 said that your throat is an open sepulchre. Your throat is like a grave where it's full of dead junk. You say, well, how are we going to teach our kids to be good? Listen, I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. Without Him, I am nothing. It's wrong to get this attitude of, we are special and God sure is lucky to have us. No, no, no. That ain't the way it goes. Let me tell you about you this morning. The poison of asp is under your lips. You have a mouth full of cursing and bitterness. Amen? Destruction and misery is in your way. You say, not me. I'm going to take what the Bible says. The way of peace you have not known. There is no fear of God before your eyes. Job 15:16 said, how much more is man who is filthy and drinks iniquity like water? That's a picture of mankind from the Bible. Drinks iniquity like it's water. Filth. Ungodliness. A sinner that needs to be saved by grace. Man is born, Job 11:12. You want me to describe you? Job 11:12. You're born like a wild ass's colt. That's you. You're a donkey. That's right, brother. That's right. Just a, that's what it said. Isn't it funny how odd people react when you just tell them what the Bible said? It's a mistake to think you're something special. You know what I was and still am? An old sinner saved by grace. Only thing good about me is Jesus. And the only thing good about you. And brother, when you see him come out, here is the great Dr. So-and-so. Here is the great so-and-so. No. We're sinners saved by grace. There ain't nothing special about none of us. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we'd all be in hell on our way. I'm telling you this morning, it's a dangerous trend to stay that way. I heard a preacher the other day. Listen to me. He's asking his people for $65 million for a new jet. I didn't say 65,000. $65 million for a new jet. I need a new jet. I know preachers who go to camp meeting and say, I ain't staying in that motel. I've had them tell me that. I'll go pay for me another. Let's just put them in a tent. And let them come to the altar and get their heart right with God before they start standing up here preaching to anybody. You ain't nothing special. We ain't no celebrities. Brother, we ain't movie stars. We're a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. Anything I can't stand, it's preachers running around like they're God's gift to the world and they're like a movie star or something. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, brother. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, we are sinners big time. Like the music. You can tell by the music. Now, I'll hurry. David, I can show you in the Bible where David played on his harp. Didn't sing, just played. And it made evil spirits leave. And one of the signs that a church is going liberal, and one of the signs that a church is trying to have a contemporary, quote, mega whatever, is their music. And our music day is getting terrible, people. You know what I've had people tell me over and over and over and over and over? They said, when we first come to your church, the thing that made an impression on us was the music, the singing. Like that song we sung a while ago. That's what a choir is supposed to do. We're not up here performing. We're not up here trying to make it. Listen, brother, when Brother Jason and them get up here, and they, like the old song that Drew sang a while ago, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, have you heard what they're singing nowadays? You know back what you know what they used to sing? I'm going to turn this back on here, Brother Andy. I'm going to let you hear a little song I heard just a couple of days ago on a Christian TV station. I'm going to let you hear just a second of it. And tonight you come back and you're going to see it. All right? Here, you know what they used to sing? Fanny Crosby used to sing, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done." They used to sing, "He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and scattered me, covered me there with His hand." You know what he used to sing? They used to sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Now I'm going to let you hear. Make sure this one's up good. You're going to hear what they call G-Rock. This is church music played in churches. G-Rock means God rock. And you're going to hear the announcer come and say, "Nobody rocks like God." Loud. I figured that's all you can stand, so I just let you hear say that. Listen to the announcer. What about pride, arrogance?
For tonight, thank you guys for watching, staying tuned in. This is Skate Church with G-Rock.
Skate Church.
And we want to thank all the kids that are skating for us, having fun with us. So I just want to remind you, nobody rocks harder than God.
Well, you say now, Brother Danny, they're trying to reach the young people. Well, you're crazy. They've been reached. I'm not saying they're not sincere. You say, well, don't you think you have to have rock music? No, that ain't what got me in. And it ain't what got you in. Somebody prayed and got a hold of God. And somebody preached and the power of God broke conviction. Come on now, people. Come on, you know good and well what you felt when I played that a minute ago. Ain't what you felt when he was up here singing a while ago. It's a completely different spirit. You say, well, people have different tastes. That ain't got a thing in the world to do with it. Listen, common sense ought to kick in somewhere. You come back tonight and you're going to see that outfit. And I'm going to tell you tonight, listen, we think we're special. No, we're not. You say, well, the music don't matter. It's the words. David played and evil spirits left. He didn't sing just the music. There is music that will bring the Holy Ghost in and run evil spirits out. And there is music, not words, that'll drive demons away. That's why when I go home, my radio's on at the house right now, on a good old gospel station, and I keep playing in the house about all the time. You can ask Brother Wayne, he's been with us. And you know what? Drive the devil out of there! Number three. A dangerous trend of the modern church is they think it don't matter what you do, you're saved by grace anyway, so it don't really matter. That's a very, very dangerous trend. That God knows we're all sinners, and He knows we mess up quite regularly, so it's okay with Him. That's a dangerous trend. Well, God understands us. He knows our heart is really with Him, so we really don't even need to try. It don't matter if we come to church or not. God, it's the same with Him. He's okay with it. It don't matter if we pay our tithes and honor God. Me and Him's got a little deal worked out. I'll try to help out a little here. No. It don't matter if I read my Bible or not. No, it's okay with the Lord. He knows I'm busy. It really don't matter if I pray or not. That's a dangerous trend, people. That's a dangerous trend. The Bible teaches chastisement. The Bible teaches... Yeah. Let me help you with this right here. Let me help you with something right here. This thing of I'm God's child, so He's obligated to protect me. Let me help you with that for a second. There's a stipulation. God will protect us as long as our heart's right. You can get out of His will, wander off somewhere out here and get yourself in big trouble. Let me illustrate. The other day I was running down my road, Hoppy Tom, and these people got a dog that they used to didn't have, new dog in town. And I was running down the road like this, and I'm looking at the trees and watching, I'm running like that, and all of a sudden, I heard something go, and I looked, and there he come down the hill, a little mean-looking little dog, about that high. And at first I jumped like that, and then I saw that he was on a leash. And they had a cable stretched about as far from here to the door over there, you know, them little things where they can slide so the dog can run. He can run down through here and run back, but he's still on that leash. As soon as I saw he was on that leash, I was fine. I was running down the road. And I that's where I done. Come on, big boy. You think you want some of this? Come on. And I wasn't scared of him. You know what? And then I thought, I think deep spiritual thoughts when I'm running, and I thought, if I got out of this road, listen, if I got off the road, and I went over here where he's at, and started messing with him, I ain't protected. He's going to bite me. As long as I, are you listening? Stay on the road, he can't get me. Now that's the way the devil is. God's hand's on us and will protect us. But I'm telling you, if you get off the road, that straight and narrow, and say, I'm going to do what I want to, and go flirting around with the devil, go up there to a bar somewhere and watch how much God protects you. Get your fool head knocked off, or somebody let the iron out of your tire, or somehow you go devil dabbling with him, he'll bite you. As long as I stay on the road, he can't touch me unless God allows him. That's a good illustration. Now you listen, we got this idea that we can do anything we want to and the devil can't. Oh yes, he can. It scares me when I hear someone talk. Well, I know I ain't heard nothing, but the devil can't hurt me. I looked him straight in the eye. I said, you better watch your mouth. I throw my head in the air. I'll tell you what you better do. You better throw your head down and get you on your knees and say, God, help me and have mercy on me and protect me. You don't bring against him a railing accusation. Amen? Number four. I'm giving you about five sermons in one this morning, so listen. Number four. This is a little bit different. Doctrinal. The big error of the modern church is they teach God's promises to Israel apply to the church in this dispensation. That's extremely dangerous. Now, what do I mean by that? You have to understand how to rightly divide the Word of truth. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. You have to divide the Scripture. There are three groups of people in the Bible to whom it is written to. You have to know who's talking, who he's talking to, and the context of what's being said. Number one, Jew. Number two, Gentile. Number three, the church. That's over there in the book of 1 Corinthians. And it tells us that there are three groups. When God speaks, he speaks to the Jew, he speaks to the Gentile, or he speaks to the church. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 32. So you can't take the promises, listen to me carefully, you can't take the promises that God made Israel in the Old Testament and still apply them to the Christian life today unless the New Testament doctrine allows for it. Now that's way over most people's heads, and if they think, well, my goodness, how do you even know what? Okay, let me give you a simple example. The Lord told some people in the Bible not to eat certain kinds of meat. He said, don't eat meat with scales on, like catfish, shrimp, lobster, all of that. Amen? You know who he's talking to? Old Testament Jews under the law. He did not say that to Gentiles. He did not say that to the church. He told the church, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know what I just did? I divided it. God spoke that to the Jews. God spoke that to the church. Now, you say, well, I believe everything he said in there, he said to me. Well, then you got to go to church on Saturday, which is Friday evening to Saturday evening, because that's the Old Testament Sabbath, and you can't eat pork chops or ham, or you can't cook nothing from Friday evening to Saturday. He didn't say everything in there to you. Everything in the Bible ain't to me. Everything in the Bible is for me. You got it? I'll give you a verse he said to Gentiles, Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. That's unsaved people all over the world. When he said certain things, he said just to Israel, and he said, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, that's to the church, that's Christian doctrine in the Apostle Paul's epistles. Are you listening to me this morning? Now, spiritually, you can preach and experience some of the principles of the Old Testament, but you can't claim every promise God made to Israel and put it on us. You want some examples? How many of you ever heard a preacher get on TV and he jumps up and he says, praise God, you sending your money, the wealth for the sinner is laid up for the just. You hear him say that? What they're saying is, if we're right with God, he'll give us all them wicked people's money. That ain't right. That ain't right. You're taking an Old Testament promise and trying to make New Testament doctrine out of them, and that ain't right. If God blesses you with money, shout and praise God. But you've got to remember Proverbs 13:22. The Proverbs are principles. They are not promises. And you have to take them in the right doctrinal context. And sometimes, the right context of that verse is, sometimes wicked people die early and God gives their stuff to the righteous. That has happened. But you can't say, glory to God, I'm a Christian, so God's going to take all my neighbor's money and give it to me. That's what you hear on TV. That's a dangerous trend. Let me give you another one. Somebody said, praise God, hallelujah, you won't never get sick. In Exodus 15:26, the Lord said, I will put none of these diseases upon you that I put upon Israel. How many of you ever heard Him quote that verse right there? That's an Old Testament promise. You say, well, praise God, we can claim that. If that's true, then ain't no Christian ever supposed to get sick. Fanny Crosby wasn't in God's will. Have you ever noticed every one of them people on TV that heal people wear glasses and claim to have great... I'm not trying to be ugly. I mean, I'm not saying they don't love the Lord. No, say, why don't they just go think and heal their eyes? Why was Benny Hinn... I saw him on TV the other day, and he was over in Africa or somewhere, and he was going, the Bible said Jesus loved you. And this guy was going, and Jenny Hinn was saying, the Bible says come to Christ today. And the guy was going, bluh. I said, wait a minute, dude. Wait a minute. All you've been talking about, where'd you get the tongues? That's what it's for. Well, some of y'all people look like I just crammed a piece of steak down your throat and you're choking on it. You know what that is? That's sound doctrine. That's sound doctrine. You can't take the promises of Israel and claim them on a church today. Now, there is a principle. God does. If you live right, serve God, there is a chance that you can be healed. God does heal. God can heal. God can make me speak Chinese right now if He wanted to. Right? We all know He can do that. I'm not limiting God. I'm just saying, get it straight. Get your Bible straight. Amazing how they believe them promises to the church, but the promise about eating the meat ain't to the church. It is He that giveth you power to get wealth. You hear that all the time. Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 28. I've heard five of them on earth preaching. God said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. God said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. He didn't say no such thing to the church. We're not ruling and reigning. Them people in Sudan ain't the head, brother. Them Christians over there starving to death and getting their head cut off, they ain't the head. They don't get the wealth of the wicked people. Listen, those are not our promises. It's dangerous to get this attitude of, if I serve God, He'll make me rich. That's the wrong attitude. Now, if He does make you rich, shout and thank Him for it, but He don't owe that to none of us. Now, something down inside you saying, He's right. He's right. Because a truth's got a ring about it, ain't it? You know I'm right. You know I'm telling you the truth. It's a dangerous trend to teach God's promises to Israel apply to the church. Well, you say, well, how do you know what verses you can claim and what you can't? It's simple. You can use any Old Testament verse in a New Testament setting as long as it don't contradict some New Testament doctrine that is to the church. Got it? Study your Bible a while. Turn your iPad off for about 4 weeks and study the Word of God and get into it. And rightly divide it. Last thing I'll say and I'm through. The saddest and the scariest trend of our churches today is the sadly missing preaching on the wrath of God and hell fire. When's the last time you turned on a mega church preacher and heard a sermon on hell fire? You won't. Let me tell you what the Bible said. Matthew 23:33. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Luke 16 said the man died and he lifted up his eyes in hell being in torments. That's the Bible. Preachers, both. One preacher said, well, God didn't call me to preach that. You're correct. He didn't call you to preach at all then. You know what you call to preach? The Word. You know how many times it's in there? 53. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13. Death and hell. Hey, listen, brother. If people are lost, we'll burn in hell without Him. Why wouldn't we warn them? Why wouldn't we warn them? The world suggests it. They talk about hell all the time. Science confirms it. The world, center of the world is on fire, just like the Bible says it is. And dying saints and sinners attest to it. The awful testimonies of people. You say, well, I just don't think you ought to be negative in your preaching and all that. Okay, don't warn people about E. coli. Don't warn people about the flu shot. Hypocrites. Oh, you better get your flu shot. You'll die if you don't. Oh, your kids will die. That's the impression you get. You don't get the flu shot, you're all dead. We're warning you, we're warning you. Let me tell you something, brother. There's a lake of fire out there burning, and people go there when they die. We're criminals if we don't warn them. Two reasons the preacher won't preach on hell. Number one, he don't believe it, in which case y'all quit. And number two, it's bad for attendance and income, in which case he ought to quit. Jesus Christ turned the coin hellfire. Our job is not to be popular with the world. It's a disgrace when we're not right. We need to be right. We warn people about cigarettes. Lord, you'd think cigarettes worst thing in the world to see them commercials. Keep that baby in that car seat. You better not. We'll give you a ticket if you don't keep that baby in that car. Warning you, you could hurt it. Suddenly, when it comes to preaching, we're not supposed to warn anybody of any kind of danger. It's scary. Psalm 9:17, the wicked will be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Deuteronomy 32:22, lowest hell. Proverbs 9:18 said the harlot, her guests are in the depths of hell. Proverbs 15:24 said depart from hell beneath. Ezekiel 31:16 said I cast him down to hell. Matthew 10:28 said destroy both soul and body in hell. There's no way that could be the grave. Somebody said, well, hell's just the valley of Hinnom over there. Well, no, it's not. Because Jesus said, you better fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell after you're dead. It's pitiful. Well, to a well-to-do soccer mom who's got her college degree and wants to sip wine on the weekend with her meals and everything, that kind of preaching don't work too good. See what I mean? This modern day bunch of Christians, God is cool and He's hip and praise Jesus and everything's wonderful. And no hell. No. Listen, that's a dangerous trend, people. It's a dangerous trend. You just as well get it through your head. Some of you sitting right here, you know, there's a lot of people come to our church. We've had people come here and say, well, if I come as the people at work, you don't go over there, do you? Can't even take just a little bit of persecution. Least little old bitty thing. Well, I know I love you, Brother Danny, but if I go, my kinfolks will fuss at me. I mean, look what the disciples went through. I'm telling you this morning, it's a dangerous trend. I'm stopping. Tonight, you got your curiosity up, ain't I? I'll show you some stuff going on tonight, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just saying, these are dangerous trends. Let's sing Hold the Fort, for I am coming, Jesus signal still. Let's sing Victory in Jesus. Just because song's new don't mean it's wicked. There are some good songs people still write. But there's some of this junk, people. You know, I am a promise. I'm a great big bundle of potentiality. You ain't no such. You ain't no such a thing. I mean, and if you listen, you'll hear God's voice, and if you let Him, He'll help you make the right choice. Some of that stuff. Come on now. What's blessed is you. We used to do it at camp like this, and I'll dismiss you. Man, fill his mouth full of mayonnaise. And get up at camp saying, I am a pimple. I am a possibility. I am a pimple with the capital P. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. On that note, you can go eat. God bless you. Let's stand.